During the time of our Lord, the Jews did not speak Hebrew. Except in their worship, they spoke Aramaic. And since that time, they have never spoken Hebrew, they have spoken Aramaic. The Jews cannot speak Hebrew when they do not control their land. It is left only for worship. And yet Zephaniah said in chapter 3 and verse 9, "Then will I turn to the people a pure language." That is, in the last days, they'll start speaking Hebrew when they get their own land. And that has happened. And for 20 years, the Jews have spoken a pure language. Even in Christ's day, they did not speak Hebrew, but Aramaic. For the first time in 2,400 years, the Jews officially speak Hebrew. Now, they are a nation now. They have their own flag, their own navy, their own army, their own laws, their own parliament. I have seen Israeli soldiers in the land of Israel. Mrs. Tingley and I only this spring were in the land of Israel, and we saw the terrific change that had transpired. For I was there in 1954, when all I could see of Israeli soldiers was through the Mandelbaum gate. They stood with at attention with arms and fixed bayonets guarding the land. But now the situation is different. When Israel took the land 20 years ago, up to the western wall of Jerusalem, General Pasha Glubb sent an appeal throughout all Arab lands to immediately, on any kind of conveyance, with any weapon, for all Arabs to come and defend Jerusalem. And they did. And the Jews were unable to take the city then, not only because of the solid wall of flesh that was willing to die, but because the United Nations ordered them not to take it. But a fantastic thing has transpired within the last little more than a year. The Jews have taken the city and taken the land up to the Jordan River and the Dead Sea. And Mrs. Tingley and I have been there since this happened. Now, the United Nations is still has its headquarters in the city of Jerusalem, and United Nations men are there. The nations of the world have said Israel has to give the city of Jerusalem back to the Arabs. Whether that will happen, we do not know. I personally seriously question it. But their control of the city is now in great dispute, and it is one of the subjects of debate for the United Nations. Jesus said that this city shall be under the control of Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles shall cease. I honestly believe with all my heart that we are at the time when the age of the Gentiles is at an end. It is ending. God does not move by the ticking of a clock. God moves by the movement of tides and nations and as he desires. So, at any moment, I expect the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God is doing a most fantastic thing. Think of it. A race phenomenon, a one-time major race reduced to 3 million people and remaining static for 1,800 years. Then suddenly, it increases and more than doubles every generation for 100 years. They take their ancient land, with the exception of their ancient capital, all in fulfillment of prophecy, and now take their ancient capital and all the land up to the River Jordan. And we actually rode a number of miles beyond the River Jordan, south of the Sea of Galilee, where the Arabs had been firing into Jewish villages and into Jewish farms. And so the armies had taken a few miles on the other side of the Sea of Galilee and on the other side of the Jordan River. Friend, my heart cried out to God as I traveled over the land of Israel. The coming of Jesus Christ is very close at hand. From Ezekiel 37, which tells about the rise of the Jews, turn to Ezekiel 38. Here is a picture of a northern dictatorship, which will be a scourge in the last days. To understand it, one must know the etymology of some of the words. A good dictionary can be of great help. Meshach, translated into Hebrew, is Moshach, into Russian and back into English is Moscow. Tubal, translated into Hebrew, is Tobol, into Russian and into English is Tobolus. Gog, translated into Hebrew, is Chasan. Into Russian and English is Caucasian, the mountains of Russia. The chief prince, translated into Hebrew, is the prince of Rosh. Into Russian and into English, it's Russia. The ancient Hebrew scripture and the Septuagint version have prince of Rosh. The King James translators took Rosh for a word instead of a proper name and therefore translated it the chief prince. But other translations later have corrected the error. Here is the land of Russia, the mountains of Russia, the Caucasian, the capital of Russia, Moscow, clearly named in Ezekiel chapter 38. All of this you can find in my book that I urge you to write in for. Ezekiel is saying in chapter 37 that the Jews will become a great nation in the last day. After being a valley of dry bones for 1800 years, the next sign is Russia, which will overrun the earth, or much of the earth, with its deadly dictatorship. Friend, I announce to you the coming of Jesus Christ. He's coming very soon. Are you ready? Get ready by receiving him. This is Glenn Tingley, saying until the next broadcast, goodbye and God bless you, everyone. Opening our Bibles to Revelation chapter 3 and 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I was mentioning when we went off of the air at the last broadcast about the theory of evolution as being the religion, more or less, of the communists. You will find this is fantastically true. And I told about Hesperioptica's Harold Cookieye that was used during the Scopes trial in Dayton, Tennessee. Professor Harold Cook had announced that he'd found the missing link. Clarence Darrow had William Jennings Bryan on the witness stand and waved the news clipping saying, "In your state of Kansas, a missing link has been found." Mr. Bryan was contending that the Genesis account of creation was true and that the theory of evolution was a creation of fancy and scientifically untrue. Mr. Bryan died without ever knowing the truth of Hesperioptica's Harold Cookieye. Dr. Herdlicka of the Smithsonian Institution made an investigation. He started digging and found many bones, just like the one found by Harold Cook. Harold Cook, a professor in Kansas, had found one tooth. And with this tooth, and the help of five other scientists, he built a missing link. The investigation revealed, however, that the tooth was not 50,000 years old, not over 500 years old at the most. And it was not the tooth of a missing link at all, but the tooth of a wild pig. Textbooks were saved the trouble of printing an evolutionary proof. The Piltdown Man taught for so many years as a proof of evolution, and I was raised on that bird, has now totally been rejected as a fraud and a lie. And if you, my listener, would be interested, or if you would question what I'm saying and you'd be interested in following through, at Oxford University, Oxford, England, Dr. Werner, one of their professors, has written a good-sized book entitled The Piltdown Hoax. Dr. DuBose found the Jabba Man and the Neanderthal Man and family amassed a fortune. Old Dr. DuBose died. No one ever saw the bones for 32 years. Dr. Herdlicka of the Smithsonian Institution investigated and found that the Neanderthal Man was based on a handful of bones. With modern techniques, he found that instead of the bones belonging to antiquity, they were about 500 years old. Instead of the bones belonging to a man, they came from a common grave of a man, woman, and a child. Thus, the Neanderthal Man is no longer a proof of evolution, but corroborates the Genesis account of creation. Friend, it will be coming out of your textbooks, but it takes many years to get these lies out of the textbooks. By the way, the Jabba Man, or Pithecanthropus erectus, showed that he was built from a supposed to be skull top. Dr. Herdlicka investigated these. Many other supposed to be skull tops were found by Dr. Herdlicka in the discovery area. By more modern methods, they were found to be only 500 years old instead of being of great antiquity. And by careful examination, they were found to be not the skull top of a missing link, but the kneecap of an elephant. Thus, the Genesis account is again proven true, and the evolutionary guess a fraud. Modernism has done its deadly work in undermining the Bible. Bishop C.C. Selectman of the Methodist Church, who buried my grandmother, came to Birmingham while I was pastor. I went to see him. He put his hands on my shoulder and said, "Son, I understand that you're a very nice fellow, that you've created some sensations, that you're a fighting fundamentalist, but people can get along with you." I replied, "I'm very grateful for that, and I do believe the Bible." Then he said, "I said to our college presidents of St. Louis the other day, we've robbed our young men of faith in the Word of God and turned out preachers who have nothing to preach. Let's start giving them back their faith, so that they can have something to preach." My own daughter, Alice May, went to Tocoa Falls Institute and graduated to Bob Jones University. Almost graduated, but got married in her last year. That is usually fatal to a college education, and I told her so in no uncertain terms. However, later she went to a so-called Christian college and to a state university. where she did graduate and is a certified teacher in the California educational system. During the time she was in that so-called Christian college, she had some difficulty and wrote to us some questions. I want to tell you about that in the next broadcast, but God brought her out clearly and beautifully because she knew Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior? Receive it, is Glenn Tingley saying until the next broadcast. Goodbye. God bless you, everyone. In Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4, I read, "Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." For the benefit of many who have daughters and sons in universities, and they come face to face with this fantastic and tragic problem of seeking to incorporate their faith they have with somehow the modernistic, evolutionary, or atheistic teaching of some godless professor, let me give you this personal experience. Our daughter was in school, the final year of college, and Mrs. Tingley said she is disturbed and you should answer her questions and send her some books. I answered, "That girl is grounded, has been born again, knows the Bible is the Word of God, and she will be all right." When I would come in from dinner, Mrs. Tingley would say, "Did you send her the books?" "What books?" "The books to Alice May." "No, I had no intention of sending books to Alice May." That night she would say, "Did you send the books?" After a while, one gets tired of saying no, and so I sent her the books and the material. It is a remarkable fact that somehow the wife has intuition that is better than the husband's good sense. Some weeks later, we received a letter of many pages. I did not know until then that Miss Tingley had also sent her material and books. Alice May's letter had this to say, and I quote, "The Philosophical History of Religions course was taken in a so-called Christian college taught by a so-called Christian instructor who believes all the Bibles and the miracles in the Bible are myths, and most of the truths upon which I base my faith are symbolic only. To him, the Bible is full of discrepancies, and Paul and James and Peter present an entirely different story than that presented by Christ himself, whose birth and life, death, and so-called resurrection were recorded by men with a number of neuroses and a big case of hero worship who attempted to deify Christ and so forth. This has been an experience I shall be eternally grateful for. You see, I grew up accepting all the truths I heard at church because my daddy said they were so. I went to Toccoa Falls Institute and accepted the truths taught there because I heard them from people I respected, and they coincided with what Daddy said, and the same at Bob Jones University. So I accepted it all as what I believed. Then I came face to face with this intellectual who would have me believe that anyone who was intellectual would believe in his great intellectual way. And I had to reevaluate these beliefs, which weren't really my beliefs. They were a combination of Daddy, Toccoa, and Bob Jones University. Now, what could I take of all I had previously learned from my own creed? It took lots of research, lots of thought, a conference with a psychiatrist, many long talks with my pastor, much reading of my Bible, commentaries, a few books from the college library, and some wonderful material sent by Mother and Daddy. I came to the end of the semester, I thought through these things, and come to the conclusion that my former beliefs are actually my beliefs. Not because somebody told me this is the right way to believe, but because I've taken these things taught from birth and put them on an equal plane with the opposite views of some great philosophers, the modernistic teaching of my religious professor, the logical views of Hinduism, Buddhism, Vedanta, Islam, Jainism, and with an objective, searching mind, I see that fundamental Christianity is the only thing that strikes a chord of reality to me. Although I feel that all other views may have a measure of truth for living a good ethical life, they give no assurance for eternity. Thank God for the assurance in the Word of God and for eternity and peace in this life. Here is confidence while walking in the midst of men, and here is glory when we see the Lord. What a tragedy that modernism has done its deadly work in robbing men of this hope, both sure and steadfast. Friend, the Bible is the Word of God, without error or mistake, as originally given. It teaches us Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. It shows us that we now can have eternal life by believing on Him. I beg you to receive Him. Let Him come into your heart and into your life. He will bring peace and rest and glory. You can find reason for living, purpose in life, by surrendering to Jesus Christ. This is Glenn Tingley, saying until the next broadcast, goodbye. Please write us. God bless you, everyone.
Thank you.